Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 1 through 26. If we had an extra hour, we'd do the whole thing, the whole chapter. But we're going to focus in verses 1 through 26, and then God willing, next time, we'll pick up the next section. John 4, 1 through 26, this is God's Word. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you've just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is one of the most beautiful and memorable scenes in the Gospels. Jesus' conversation with this Samaritan woman. It was an unlikely event, not the sort of thing that would be readily imagined and scripted. if somebody was making this stuff up. But this isn't being made up. This is what happened. This is God's word. It was an unlikely meeting. It says that Jesus had to go through Samaria because of where he was going. It wasn't because geographically it was necessary. It was the shortest route. But the Jews usually, in order to avoid going through Samaria, would travel around Samaria. You might say this was the bad part of town, but it wasn't just a part of town. It was a bad part of the country. Well, Jesus was on a mission. And his mission involved doing what the Father told him to do. If you look at the scriptures and even what comes later in this chapter, what becomes very clear is that the reason Jesus went through Samaria is because that's what the Father said to do. So they took the direct route geographically and the socially unpopular route ethnically, and they went right through where the Samaritans lived. Now, the Jews despised the Samaritans. And it wasn't just because they were different. It's because of the history religiously. They believed in God. They believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But all they embraced, the Samaritans that is, all that they embraced were the first five books of the Old Testament. The rest of it they didn't regard. And so they were ignorant of many things that God had said and that God had done. They had the creation story. They had the Exodus story. They certainly knew about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And they were very proud of the fact that there was a lot of history related to that in their area geographically. This well is not just a source of water, it's a source of pride for them. But when Jesus is going through there, doing the Father's will, please notice that he got tired. He got tired. It says the reason that he was seated there was because he was tired from the journey. So he sat down by the well, and it was about noon, the sixth hour. So it's hot, Jesus is tired, and he's sitting by the well, and this woman comes to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Now, this was kind of shocking because if a Jew touched a vessel, a cup, that a Samaritan had touched, the Jew would become ceremonially unclean. If a Samaritan touched it, it's dirty. Well, that just seems rude. Well, it seemed that way to the Samaritans. So not only did the Jews look down on the Samaritans, but knowing that, the Samaritans despised the Jews. There was animosity between these people. Jesus asks her for a drink. She's very surprised. She says, "You are a Jew," as if he didn't know. "And I am a Samaritan," as if he didn't know. "How can you ask me for a drink? I'm a Samaritan woman. What are you thinking?" Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Okay, now Jesus is speaking the truth here, but he's speaking, for her purposes, in riddles. You know, I mean, you just asked me for a drink. Now you're telling me I should have asked you for a drink? I mean, how does that work? I mean, you don't even have anything to draw water with. And this well is deep. What are you talking about, Jesus? She had no idea who Jesus is. But the purpose of this conversation was not just because Jesus wanted to show off. It was because Jesus wanted to show who he is, because that's what she needed to know, and it's what you need to know. The main point today is that only Jesus Christ can satisfy our deepest longing. Only Jesus Christ can satisfy our deepest longing. She did not understand what Jesus is talking about. Jesus said, if you knew who I was, and if you knew the gift of God, it's a gift. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. What do you mean? Sir, the woman said, I don't get it. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself? I mean, Jacob, big deal. Jacob gave us this well. He drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds. Now, who were Jacob's sons? The Jews. Samaritans also had some Jewish lineage, but they had not stayed pure. They had mixed with Gentiles, and that was why there was a clear ethnic difference and why there was the religious rivalry. But she says, you know, I mean, as a Jew, you should know this. This well goes back to your father, Jacob. I don't care which of the tribes you're from. You're from one of the 12, and all 12 of them drank from this well also. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. When the Holy Spirit gives us new birth, when we are born again, as Jesus spoke of in the previous chapter, when we are born again, we're not just forgiven. We are changed from the inside out. God himself comes to live in us, and now his life is welling up in us and flowing out from us so that we are bringing life to those around us. If you know Jesus, you're not just forgiven. You're being transformed. And what you have to offer to the world is life. So why would a Christian exhaust himself trying to get what the world has? All those things that the world looks to in order to find satisfaction, in order to find peace, in order to find joy. Guess what? None of that lasts. None of that can really satisfy. You drink the water from this well, you're going to be thirsty again. But if you receive the gift of God, God lives in you and keeps you in peace. He is your peace. He is your joy. Changes everything.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, Jesus tells her this. Still, she doesn't have a clue what he's talking about. She's just thinking he's saying he can give her something so she doesn't have to keep coming to the well. He's talking about something spiritual. She's thinking about still the stuff of this world, the way that most people think most of the time. But Christians need to get over it. Her response is, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming back here to draw water. She just doesn't get it, okay? A lot of people are missing the point. A lot of people think that the purpose of receiving Jesus is so that you get all the stuff the world is chasing. No. The world is chasing things that are a substitute for the eternal. The world does not understand what it is that they really long for. So Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come back. Well, awkward subject here because actually, she doesn't have a husband. She's living with somebody. She's living in sin. But they're not married, so she can say, I don't have a husband. Jesus says, well, that's true. You have had five husbands. Currently, you're with somebody who's not your husband. How do you know that? Has he been looking at my Facebook page? How does he know about my previous relationships? I mean, this is a subject of shame, even in Samaritan culture, certainly in Jewish culture. If the first marriage doesn't work out, it's like, that's too bad. If the second marriage doesn't work out, it's like, what's wrong with you? Five times? You've been married five times and none of them lasted? And now you're with somebody else? I would predict that's not going to be a long-term relationship either. This is an embarrassing subject. So what does she do? She changes the subject. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. I have a question. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place we must worship is in Jerusalem. You know what happens if you start to zero in on a person's need for forgiveness and the lordship of Christ? They will change the subject to something like, well, if there is a God, how can there be so much suffering in the world? Or, well, I've been wondering, what about the people who've never heard? I mean, there are about five or six questions that will be the questions that people will ask if you start to get close to where they live. Because the goal is to change the subject. You're Jewish, I'm Samaritan. Let's talk about where's the right place to worship God. Jesus says, that's not what it's about. It's not about geography. It's about relationship. Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. It's not going to be about going to this religious site or to that religious site. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come, because this is God incarnate talking to her. A time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Notice, God's looking for something. God is looking for people who will worship him rightly. Well, how do we worship him rightly? In spirit and in truth. It's not enough to check the boxes on a list of propositional truths. You can be orthodox and spiritually dead. You can agree with all the right doctrines and not love God. But there are some people who are emotionally excited about the Lord and want to be in the Spirit, but they just don't have the time and the discipline to learn what God says in his word about who he is and how we should live. And so doctrinally, they may veer off into heresy, be subject to the deceiving spirits in this world, because they're just looking for something spiritual. Okay? God is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said, Well, I know that when Messiah is coming, I know that Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he'll explain everything to us. Okay, let's just defer this to another time, shall we? Because, you know, I really think Messiah will straighten all this out. And now Jesus is ready for the big reveal. And Jesus tells her, that's who you're talking to. This is shocking. Jesus was not that direct about his identity until late in his ministry to the Jews. But here with this Samaritan woman, Jesus reveals to her that he is the Messiah. I who speak to you am he. I am the Messiah. Shocking. Absolutely shocking. Oh, there's more to this chapter. There's more to this story. This isn't the end of the story, but it's the part we're looking at today, and I want you to understand. Jesus' conversation with this woman is not only a wonderful illustration of how to lead someone to Christ. If you want to know how to lead someone to Christ, you might look at Jesus. How did he do it? How did he reveal his identity? Number one, he asked the woman for something. I found that very often people are more willing to receive what I have to offer if I treat them as having something to offer me. Hey, could you give me a hand with this? Hey, I was wondering if you could explain this to me. Hey, you seem to be good at this. Could you give me some pointers? Well, now I've just treated them with respect. And so now that they know that I'm treating them with respect, when I have something to share that I know something about, they're often much more open. Not only that, but Jesus didn't shy away from getting to the point about this woman's need spiritually, the fact that she's a sinner. He zeroed in deliberately in obedience to the Father, saying what the Father gave him to say. He zeroed in on the fact that her moral life was in a shambles and her history was embarrassingly bad. That was a loving thing to do, not a cruel thing, even though it was very uncomfortable for her. Jesus turned the subject back to what matters when she tried to change the subject. He takes her right back to the fact that God is the one we're going to have to deal with. It's not about geography. It's about relationship. And so then when the woman says, well, I think we'll just have to wait till Messiah comes, Jesus says, I am he. Because the most important thing that any of us can know is who Jesus is. If you know that Jesus really is who he claimed to be, you would be a total fool not to surrender your life to him. Jesus said, I am he. In light of that, what he said about everything else leaves you thirsty again, but if you receive what he's offering, you'll never thirst again. What are you looking for to satisfy you? What do you think would do it for you? If you're looking for money to fill that emptiness inside, to give you what you really long for, it won't do it. Fame doesn't last. Health doesn't last. Beauty doesn't last. Doesn't last. What are you looking for? The only one who will satisfy is Jesus Christ. He's the only one. Run to Jesus. Ask him to give you his life, his love, his spirit, because he will not fail you. He will not leave you. And you will know peace and joy forever.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.